AFL CEO Gillon McLachlan confirming that June 11 will be the return to play date. Just a couple of key dates, Jared and Kingy, before we get into it. May 18, which is the Monday coming up, return to training in groups of eight. So all clubs will be able to train in groups of eight on Monday. Then the following Monday, May 25, full contact. Port Adelaide and the Crows will have to relocate to the Gold Coast by then. And then June 11 is round two, a Thursday night game. Who wants first crack?
Well, I'll take the new ball, and I just would like to congratulate those people who have made this happen. And Gil McLachlan is the chief, so he gets the primary accolade, but he's got a whole lot of people behind him. He's also lost a lot of people, as have every footy club. So our thoughts are to those people that aren't in work at this stage in this community. But it's just great to have football back. It's 54 days ago, it looked potentially unlikely. I mean, right now we were supposed to be at mass death in this community, and incredibly we're in this position still in May, where we're looking forward to a footy season, Kingy. So well done to the AFL for getting it going. Well done to the states for the efforts that they've done, and well done to everybody in the country who has abided by the rules and allowed us to flatten the curve so everybody gets an opportunity, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, to see some football.
I'd like to thank the players and the AFLPA, because without giving some concessions along the way, and they're big concessions, I mean, even those last couple of questions there, Tommy, I mean, they're going to go into these high-performance villages or whatever you want to call them.
Accommodation villages.
We used to call them hubs, but yeah. They're going to go in there, they're going to be tested twice a week. If the families come with them, you'd expect a fair majority or fair percentage of the players would take their families with them. They'll be under the same stringent testing, which is a challenge when you've got kids and these sorts of things to put them through. That's their lives change for what we know will be 4 weeks, but it could be as many as 8 or 10, Jerry. We're not quite sure. And then those that are at home, those that are in Victoria or New South Wales or Queensland, they are having their homes assessed, and will have all sorts of things happening to their living arrangements as we speak. If they're in shared accommodation, there'll be things that play out there, whether they move out or others move out. So that there's so much to happen there that I think at the end of the day you've got to say – you've got to, the whole competition and the football-loving public have to say thanks to the players for subjecting themselves to this in the short term.
And I think the players have got the huge responsibility now. There'll be a lot of people out there looking for gotcha moments. I hope there's a level of maturity for some mistakes that do happen, and there will be some mistakes along the way, both from administrators, from governments, there's already been a few, from the playing group. And I think it's smart that they've got a list of protocols for incidents that if you do transgress, players actually can't put their hand up and say, well, hang on, that's not fair. But if people are forewarned, then that's fantastic. But I think what we've got to take this attitude, this half-glass-full attitude into this, and I accept your point on the players, Kingy, but I also accept the point that they're able now, under these circumstances, to go out and play. They're able to go out and increase their payments, etc. And I think that if they have a focus on what they've got and value what they've got, not worry about what we haven't got, then we're going to get through this stormy sea a lot easier.
Well, Gil just said at the end there, which is pretty pointed, that it's considered a breach of the rules now. It's been negotiated by the AFLPA. Three levels: intentional, reckless and careless. And the sanctions will be, you know, scaled as such.
That's good, isn't it? We need a framework whereby we can set things in play if players do the wrong thing. Conduct unbecoming is what a lot of it will be called as well. And that was ticked off by the AFL Commission on Monday. That's really important to get the protocols in place. And I want to talk about the specific protocols of training, but let's just broadly talk about the way the season's going to get started for these clubs. And more specifically, the two Adelaide clubs and the two Perth clubs. What does it mean for them, Jared, to have to travel to the Gold Coast, two clubs before the other, and play in hubs in a foreign environment as best they can and play for premiership points?
Well, what it means is that they're able to be involved in the competition. I mean, it's not ideal. We understand that. But I don't think we can spend the next 16 weeks worrying about fairness. It's going to be swings and it's going to be roundabouts. And I wanted to congratulate Adam Simpson. I think he led the charge on this a week ago when he said, look, we're not too concerned if it impacts negatively on us. We just want to get the season going. And I think that sort of leadership is what I hope is infectious. in this era. We need that sort of leadership where people aren't absolutely nitpicking on a little bit of fairness here and a little bit of fairness there. We're looking at big picture stuff that Adam Simpson led the charge on and said, righto, we are all going to have to take a hit here. We're all going to have to – things aren't going to be absolutely perfect, but for the betterment of this competition, we're going to be involved. You give me the rules and I'll play by them.
Throw the toys out of the cot later in the season, I think he said. But, look, this is only for the – as Gil put it perfectly, how we start is not how we finish. So if you look at any premiership contender, Jared, yep. the last 6 weeks of their season is far more important than the first six. I mean, Richmond were out of the finals at round 14 last year. So it's not necessarily about your first month of football. So I think the club that has handled the break and then handles assimilating back into contact work and full-blown match simulation and then games – without injury or without a massive injury toll, will be the one that goes deep into October now.
Four contact sessions before round two.
It's not many.
The clubs would like more than that, but it'll have to be enough, won't it? Two per week.
That's the attitude. That's what the rules are. That's enough because, well, you know what? That's all there is. Yeah. So get on with it.
But I get that, and I think we all agree with that, Jared. But will you have to look at staggering your list back to football and not just have 30, whatever it is, 35 players or 40 players ready to go for round two and maybe put some sort of stagger in and mitigate some risk?
There's always going to be some people trying to apply various levels of science, and everybody in the science world is either correct after the fact or incorrect after the fact. There's going to be some theories. There's always theories in our game, Kingy, and I'm sure people are going to test them. And people are going to reflect and said that didn't work and that did work. And who knows whether it was actually the theory or it was just an ad hoc set of circumstances. But the bottom line is we know it's not ideal. And we can sort of focus on this and we can focus on that. As all the journos were trying to do, they're focusing on little things. The bottom line is these are the rules. We're going to learn more as we go along. And it's fantastic. We've got an opportunity. And the one other point I'd like to make is that the AFL has got this huge responsibility now. And when I say the AFL, I'm talking about everybody in it, from the top down to the bottom. A huge opportunity. Let's not stuff it up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's – yeah. You just contradicted yourself. You're going to be positive all the way through and then you flip.
No, that's not flipping. That is we've got this opportunity.
So make it work.
Make it work.
The other key for me was we're going to have a normal final series, Jared, 4 weeks. Good. So there's no wild card – potential wild card round.
And the MCG...
No, he said we're going to have a four-week final series.
Yep.
Regardless of where it falls, we're going to have a four-week final series.
Yeah, but does the wild card round count as a final series? That's before finals.
I think if we were going to have something as radical as that, he would have said.
He would have said we're
looking, I agree with you.
We're leaving the door ajar, but he didn't say that. He said 4 weeks. So I think the scope for movement to be agile and flexible, Jared, is in that bye. Do you take the bye this year, or do we say this has been a different year? We're going to go straight from round 22, round 17 or whatever it is, into a final series.
Wouldn't be surprised if they pivoted on that point.
All words that have been overused a lot, but words that are really important because Gillon McLachlan has said consistently they need to be agile, and they have been agile to the point where we won't know fixtures 7 weeks down the track until they announce it. So 4 to 6 week blocks are the aim. And I just wonder whether that's the best way to do it anyway.
Of course it is, because we don't know about the borders. And as soon as the South Australian border opens up, if the West Australian border opens up, well, the whole thing changes. People come out of high performance
villages,
or hubs, as they were once known, and we get back to normal fly in, fly out.
I think it'll happen quickly, Jared. I think the heat will come, the pressure will come.
You're leading the charge.
Martin McGowan will be thinking, I'm on a mate of blue.
No, he's not going to say that, that's for sure.
Of course he's not going to say it, but you watch how quickly these borders open up. Just when the public see what's happening and see the footy's back and we're rolling regardless and your two teams are stuck somewhere across the other side of the country. But I think they've come to a great midpoint, if you like, with the players in terms of the families being involved.
It's so important for the players. Yeah. That's why they were hesitant to agree to hubs when the AFL said...
They weren't agreeing. They were flat out disagreeing.
Well, there was a consensus among the players, we can't go into hubs if families aren't going to be allowed. Yeah. And in the end, the AFL has paid for that, so they deserve credit for that too.
Yes, and I think there's a big difference between spending 4 to 6 weeks on the Gold Coast and 20 weeks locked up somewhere else.
Mm. Yeah. Well, 20 weeks is a long time. No one was going to sign up for the 20 weeks.
No, but I know.
What about the question that was asked of Gillon McLachlan that we wanted to be asked? What happens if someone tests positive? He just said there's lots of hypotheticals, but it appears to me, Jared, like they've got so many different things in place and so much testing that's so rigorous that they'll be able to deal with that if that does occur.
Well, I agree, but they will have plans in place. As I said, I mean, you can only postulate as to what they will be. They'll be isolated. Those close will be isolated. How much that impacts on other team members. But clearly, if we can get a turnaround in testing and the testing isn't overwhelming the public health system, which was the great fear initially, then the whole team can be tested prior to anybody going out to play. So I think we're a long way ahead in that situation than we were 6 or 7 weeks ago when we were talking about should the umpires train together, because if one umpire gets it, then the rest have to isolate for 2 weeks.
We still don't know what's happening with the umpires. It wasn't asked. I'm interested in that. I'm interested how the umpire, because they're so valuable to the game, because if 5 or 10 can't umpire because they've got to be in isolation, then the game really does suffer.
They live in isolation, Tom. They live in isolation, umpires.
You've always been one of these sort of
different breed altogether.
I think ultimately half a dozen umpires will go up to the hubs and they'll live in the hubs. Now, they may have to be full-time, which a lot of people have been talking about for a long period of time. And won't it be interesting if their performance goes up, Kingy, given that they're full-time and sunning themselves in Queensland?
They've been in isolation for years, I'm telling you.
And as we go to air, Scott Morrison has announced a $48.1 million funding package for national mental health to help Australians struggle as a result of the pandemic. And I think it's a worth mentioning how important it is for the players to have families under this banner, because that was what they were most concerned about, the well-being of each other, but not just themselves, but also their families at home.
That doesn't solve the problems, though. I mean,
the problem's never going to be solved, is it?
But just go specific example. Yep. Tim Kelly had all these things you're talking about when he was playing at Geelong last year. Yep. Had his immediate family around him, had the club support around him, but wanted to get back to Perth to get the full package of support from the family. He moves now to the Gold Coast, and if his family come, he's back in the same position that he was at Geelong.
But he knows he's there temporarily.
I get that, but it's a stress for at least 4 weeks. So there's a lot still to play out here. It's not solved just because your family comes with you. Mm. They don't get that support on the periphery.
The buzzword or the buzz phrase last year was unintended consequences. It was related to football, but I still get the feeling there's going to be a lot of unintended consequences with this, because we don't really know how it's going to play out. All the AFL can do is get the framework as best they can with all the different stakeholders and then get footy back as soon as possible, which is 27 days away on June 11. Oh. Looking forward to chatting more after the break. We've got plenty more to dissect from Gillon McLachlan's press conference here on Fox Footy Live, First Crack.
Today, I want to announce that our AFL competition is returning. From Monday, all clubs will return to training. And all AFL clubs will resume full contact training a week later on May 25. Our 2020 AFL Premiership season will resume on Thursday, June 11.
That's 27 days away, Jared Healy and David King. Welcome back to Fox Footy Live.
And five days ago, I saw Gil McLachlan with you blokes. He was bearded up and now he's looking very fresh, King. You've changed him.
No, he was race day Gil. Right. He was in his race mode. He was ready to give us tips and
all
sorts.
Have the beret on?
I'll tell you what he has done. He hasn't hidden, Jared. He's fronted up on Fox Footy Live on Saturday.
Is he on tomorrow?
Two or three times. He'll be on again tomorrow. He's been fantastic with us and trying to give answers along the way, even though at times they weren't as obvious as others. But the shave is coming at a good time, isn't it?
He looks
pretty very clean. Sharp.
He looks sharp. And I don't think he's going to have answers to a lot of questions. I mean, ultimately, the balls are up in the air and we're just going to have to react to circumstances. Everybody does it with the right intention. I think we're going to all get on fantastically well. I'm interested in whether you think the game will look any different, King. I hear a lot of people say product could be better, could be worse. I'm not sure it'll be that much different. The skills may take a week or two to get up to speed. But outside of that, I mean, I'm hoping that we're going to see a repeat of what round one was. And I thought there was some really good football in round one.
And I think it was a shock for the players to not have the involvement of the crowd. Was that a manufacture?
Shock for the umpires.
It was a shock for everyone. We could hear everything. It was different. That point of difference will be gone. After a couple of weeks, they'll be used to just performing in front of their own. They know they get reviewed to within an inch of their life. They don't take any shortcuts, Jerry. They don't change the way they play fundamentally. they'll put on a show. Don't worry. The Stars know when the ball bounces, they're on show. Mm.
Jared, is it too simplistic to say that the way Gillon McLachlan handles this situation will define his legacy as AFL CEO? Is this his number one legacy point, I guess, the way he handles coronavirus?
Oh, I think undoubtedly. But
it has to be now, doesn't it?
I don't think anybody could say anything really negative about the way that Gil has led the charge on this. I'm actually think we're lucky that we've had Gil McLachlan at the helm. I think he's risen to the occasion. He's a great negotiator. Dealing with the governments must have been very difficult. He's won most battles. He's lost a couple. But ultimately, as you said earlier, Kingy, the war hasn't quite been won because we've got to get through to the end of the season. But it's a pretty good standpoint. And I don't think anybody could find too much flaw with what Gil's done in the last 3 months.
You can always tell, though, Jared, when there's something that just that upsets them.
How?
Because when it comes to placement of where you put the teams.
Yeah, that's right.
You work out who has served you the greatest.
Are you talking with or without golf course?
Well, I think, would you prefer to go to the Royal Pines facility with the golf course, the better pool, the better tennis facilities? Remarkably, the West Australian clubs have gone there, Jerry.
Have they got there?
And the South Australian clubs have gone to the McCure, which, you know.
There's always devil in the detail, isn't there?
Yes.
It's everyone can interpret it whichever way they like, but I suspect I'd probably prefer the golf course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if you don't play golf, it'd be nice to walk around.
Well, the kids.
But I suspect that the Adelaide sides will be able to get a taxi and go to that golf course.
Do you think so?
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Not sure about that.
Well, there'll be, I would imagine, in the hub, there'll be drivers that are quarantined and they're full-time. I suspect. I mean, they're all little details. I take your point.
It's normally
you can't just go jump in any cab. I accept that. But the golf course, I believe, is being totally owned by the two clubs and potentially the four clubs. It's off limits to the public. So it's in a bubble.
Yep. Lots of golf will be played. I'm fascinated by the COVID infraction grading panel. I do see how they're going to do it, but is that Michael Christian? Is that the AFL? I mean, if you get it wrong, there's a block and a table where the AFL will adjudicate how wrong you got it.
It's the same three levels, intentional, reckless and careless. I mean, I heard Nick Riewoldt last week on Fox Footy Live say, on the couch, he said that you would be naive to think that 100% of players were going to be able to get through the season. Well, they may not have to get through the season, but they've got to get through this 4 weeks, Jerry. Are we naive to think that that will happen?
I think we're naive to believe that there won't be Michael Christian will go through without having some issues to deal with.
In 4 weeks.
I mean, I just, you know, people do things by mistake and there will be mistakes made. I don't think there'll be great mistakes or grave mistakes, but there might be
careless,
an error of judgment.
So let's put a line through careless.
Yep.
So if things just happen, careless mistake, little clip, small fine or something, or maybe even something like a suspended sentence that's made its way back into the
I don't like them.
We haven't had them for years. They're back. Reckless and more specifically intentional was the one.
If there's any, even reckless, anything above careless, I think the people involved have let us all down, let the game down.
Should intentional be your 2020 is over?
I'd be surprised if it wasn't.
So if you're caught at a Gold Coast nightclub, you're done.
God. And you may not come back. You may not return to the game again.
If they're open.
2021 might be done as well.
Yeah. So the clubs have to be really careful as well, not just the players, because the clubs can inadvertently get things wrong too, and the way their trainings are set up and how they operate sort of from a logistical standpoint.
Don't think there's any reason a club should get it wrong.
No.
I mean, they have got a lot of people at the club still. There's a lot of meetings to be had. There's a lot of forewarning and a lot of people. You can check these things off. If the clubs get it wrong, there should be serious penalties for them too.
Mm. Financial, you'd think, though.
Well, whatever the penalty is, Kingy, I'm not sure, but it won't be suspended sentences.
And now the clubs can get back to work. Membership departments can go back. I know the Saints, they've already come back and they're doing a great job getting fans back on board. And the players can go back to training. The coaches can come back, albeit on a more skeleton staff. It feels like we're getting back to more towards normal, which is what we want, but it's not going to be normal at all this year. There's been a bit of chat about an asterisk season. Do you, either of you believe the Premier will have an asterisk next to their name this year or not?
As someone who didn't win a premiership, this one would do me.
Kingy.
Kingy, you've won a couple.
I think this would be a harder premiership to win than we've ever had.
Mm. And I think you're going to see potentially a club who people didn't rate as a finalist coming in, jump up four or five spots. This is all about getting this thing right. Well, glass half full going in, maybe three-quarter full.
You're full. You're just chockers.
Anybody who wants to focus on the negative, you're going to drag your teammates back. You want people going to energise your group, look at the positives, and go forward.
He's dropped into Ron Barassi all of a sudden.
He's got his chest out. He's ready to go. I love it.
So I said, I made this analogy before. It's when you get a hole in the boat and you're on the way to Tassie, you just get the boat to Tassie. Get the boat to Tassie. No celebrating midway across Bass Strait.
Jared, you've led the charge here. June 11 was your date. You've led the charge from a long time ago. Are you at all surprised that June 11 has actually come true?
No, that was just a guess, and I'm not sure if I was the first one to say it. No, it wasn't. It was just, if you just went through the dates and you went through how many days you need, I was disappointed people were talking late July, only 4 weeks ago, when the Rugby League were talking March 28.
May 28, yeah.
May 28. And when I said this a few weeks ago, I absolutely believed it. And if we didn't get our comp up and about in the first 2 weeks of June, we weren't trying hard enough.
Jared, it's like listening to Martin Luther King. You're a ripper. Well done, Kingy. June 11, we're back.
We're back.